Kaya, and welcome to the Curb Podcast. My name is Andrew F. Pierce, and I'm coming from Boorloo, Western Australia. Sovereignty never ceded. The Sydney Film Festival is in full swing with a wide array of local and international features reaching audiences on Gadigal land. One of the finest films having its Australian premiere at the festival is Jaden Martin's stunning feature debut film, Flathead. This fiction-documentary hybrid film follows Cass Comerford, a bloke near the end of his days who returns to Bundaberg, the region he grew up in. Swaying into the town, he finds consolation and support with various religious sects that have sprung up in the land before he flows into the life of Andrew, a Chinese-Australian fish and chip shop owner who is dealing with his own understanding of mortality. Flathead follows these real figures as they're nudged along a partly fictional narrative. And as the film plays with the sublime black and white presentation, it sways into a dreamlike state, providing a highly affecting story about modern Australia. And it's that notion of what a modern Australia is that drives the following conversation with Jaden, who took 4 years to make the film and had to leave Australia to realise what it was that he needed to make. Flitting into some of the scenes and delivering a closing duet with Cass is fellow filmmaker Brody Poole, a documentarian in his own right, who has also essayed what modern Australia looks like on screen with his documentary General Hercules. Both Brody and Jaden are engaging in an essential conversation right now about Australian identity and culture, and in doing so, they're also reasserting the notion of who gets to tell stories on screen on this place that we call Australia. Flathead is an experience like no other, and my words here barely scrape the thematic text of the film, nor do they do justice to what Jaden is putting forward as a filmmaker. I feel humbled by the film. As a nation, there is a shortage of filmmakers who operate in the realm of social realism, and I'm hoping beyond hope that Jaden continues down this path. If so, then we will be richly rewarded as his body of work builds over the years. For now, do what you can to see Flathead. It is one of the finest Australian films of the year. It screens on the 12th of June and the 15th of June at the Sydney Film Festival, and tickets are available at sff.org.au. It will also screen later in the year at the Melbourne Film Festival, and I highly recommend if you are in Melbourne to head along and go and see it there. No doubt it will reach other states as they flow on. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. The Curb is an ad-free reader and listener-supported website, and I would hope that if you like to keep The Curb independent, you can do so from patreon.com/thecurbau to show your support from as little as $1 a month. It goes a very long way to help keeping the lights on here at the website. For now, that's enough of me. Here is the trailer to Flathead, followed by the discussion with Jaden Martin.
I had a son. He went missing when he was 17 for 2 weeks. And one night a copper came to the door and said, I think we found your boy.
Where you from, Kaz?
Around here.
Never seen you before.
The Botox, the fake lips, the fillers. So fake.
This is so natural.
This is natural. This is the real Australia. There's an old saying, forget about the past, don't think about the future. Simply focus on today, the moment. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. In fact, I don't even know what I'm going to do next week. All I need to do is Just focus on the moment, and then the tomorrow takes care of itself.
Dreadful curse for my soul. For my soul.
All right, Lord, here it comes. All the angels can have a bit too.
I tell you what a film, man. That is, it's an experience, to say the least.
Thank you. It's been the last 4 years of my life, so it's been a hell of an experience.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into that because I want to talk about it. But, I mean, it's just, 4 years. That's a long time. I mean, it's a lot to kind of take in board and process in your head and stuff like that. But it's impressive.
Yeah, I got out to the other end of it and I wasn't completely insane, just partially insane. So...
I think that's the thing. Like I interviewed Brody for General Hercules, and I think that he said exactly the same thing about that film. It's like, I finished this film that should have otherwise made me feel very crazy. And no.
Yeah, it's worrying, though. It's a worrying sign for the both of us.
Why is that? Why is it worrying?
Maybe we are crazy. Maybe we're crazy because you never know when you're crazy. If you're crazy, so maybe we're the
well. Isn't that what people ones. Say? Like the whole, like, there's that thing about being crazy and stuff. Like, yeah, everybody else is crazy, and you're the sane one. But really, you're the crazy one. I don't know. I feel like I'm crazy doing what I do. So, you know, it's.
I think we're all little weirdos.
Yeah, exactly. Sanity. What is it? Is it real? Yeah. Is it not real? Who knows? Which is kind of like that sits at the core of both General Hercules and Flathead is the whole, what are we doing on this world? Right. And that's kind of what I really like about Flathead is you present this, the opening and with the text and stuff about going, look, here's the current state of the world. We're in a, you know, financial crisis, this cost of living crisis and stuff. And then, you know, what are we doing then that makes our life worth living? And that's kind of the big question, isn't it? It's the, right, we might die soon. How are we actually going to spend our days that makes it worthwhile? I don't know if there's an actual answer to that. Like, if the question can ever be answered, do you think it's a question that can be answered?
No, but it's something that can be pondered. I think it's like, I think most of us are kind of all hurtling towards that question. And we keep trying to look for answers, and then suddenly we're non-existing anymore. And I think you should be wary of people who say they've got the answer.
Yeah. I love that because that's kind of what the film is raising, isn't it? As Cass is going around and visiting Bundaberg, and he meets these different religious people, and it's like, they've all got the answer. You're going to go here and stuff. I love that scene where he's talking to the guy and he's like, look, you know, everybody's got their own little section. You go up and there's going to be the Muslims up here, the Christians up here. And then the guy's like flat out, no, that's not the case. I found that really fascinating. I'm getting ahead of ourselves as well because I kind of want to talk about how the film first started. Like, as you're saying, 4 years of your life dedicated to this. Where did it start? How did the idea kick off?
Like primarily, I grew up in Logan, very working class community. And then I left and spent some time in the UK. I kind of ran away from that. I think if you're an artistic person and you grew up in a town that's more not conducive to that kind of way of thinking, that you kind of get on that greyhound, you try to get as far away as possible. So I did for a good 8 years of my life, spent time in Wales. And it's the time in Wales where I kind of first became kind of eyes opening to kind of class consciousness. And that thing I was running away from is something I need, like that's me and that I need to explore. And that these communities that I was raised in, you know, they're going through a lot and they're perpetually going through a lot. And it's something that I should be aware of and I should go back and try and unpick my life and my understanding of it through how I experienced it as a young fella and also try and come in terms with it. So that's like that's organically the idea of the, you know, the story. It's someone in Cass' case going back to his community that he grew up with and trying to come to terms with his own mortality, but also come to terms with what that community looks like, and are you a part of that community anymore? Has it kind of moved past you?
But the community will always be part of you though, right? So whether you're part of the community, kind of, it's that's a personal thing, but the community will always be part of you. I grew up in Queensland myself in the Gap, so not like rural stuff, but you know, this strange suburb, which is, yeah, just the place that's between two hills, and it's like, what a creatively titled place, the Gap. And so it's that strange thing, like, even though I'm in Perth now, it's like that feeling of that part of my life is always going to be part of me, but that part of Australia has changed and moved forward. And I'm curious if you, like you're saying, you spent time in Wales. What was that feeling of that disconnect between home of Logan and going, all right, I'm now at this kind of middle point of being away from home and being able to reflect on it, how I grew up, what that made me as a person. How did, was there a point where you kind of woke up one morning and went, shit, this is who I am?
Yeah, it was just, it's, I think slowly meeting more people. And when you get introduced to different parts of the world, different communities, you kind of, you get a realization of where you're from and where your base is and who are those people that you connect with. And I was more gravitated to people that I was, and particularly artists who came from working class backgrounds. And that was really beautiful. There was a group of us in Cardiff that really, and they introduced me. They were a bit older than me, and they were all kind of proud of where they came from. And they all kind of had this, we all had our chip on our shoulders about this is our growing up and backgrounds. But just to be a part of it, not have to see other people from similar backgrounds to you doing amazing work, and you kind of, you understand, you kind of go, oh yeah, I've got a place in this world, I don't have to feel bad about this. And going, well, why do I feel bad about this? Why, what things that, you know, it's all about me, like it's my actions, like whatever has happened to me growing up or those situations, it's really not their responsibility of the community and the people I interact with. It's my responsibility how I see it and digest it and how I react to it. And I think the beautiful thing about the film as well, it kind of, you know, you think you can always be better and be more virtuous and more open to people. But I think throughout filming this, it's something that I've, that's imparted me the most, is like it's being able to be kind of let into the people's worlds, and you're forced to kind of sit down with people, and you're forced to connect, and you're forced to really understand people. It's something that you have to, you know, you might be put in confronting conversations or circumstances, but it's how you get into a deeper level and kind of a deeper connection. You go, you know, I understand where this person's coming from because they've had a hard life. It's, you know, how do I meet them even further than halfway? How do I meet them 90% of the way to try and connect to them? That's for me. And that's how, you know, it's beautiful. The film is kind of discovering that and trying to work on that as a human being. You know, I think it's, yeah, it's something I hope for, but you know, you hope you can be that person that meets people.
Well, it's judgment-free filmmaking, right? Like it's easy. There are characters in the film or people in the film where on a textual level, you might go, I don't agree with who they are as people, or I don't agree with what they're saying. But it is so important, as you're saying, to understand how they ended up in this stage in their life. What has actually happened to make them the people who they are? And it's not about empathy, but it's about understanding. And there is, yeah, I mean, of course, empathy is there, but it's that compassion. It's that judgment-free storytelling. And it's so tangible in Flathead. Like, it's so, you approach every single character and person like a genuine person, like you're meeting them and have a complete understanding of who they are and how they've gotten to this point in life. And hearing your story about going overseas and reflecting on Australia is quite powerful, because you can see that in the film. But with that in mind, you're welcome. With that in mind, I understand it's like a docudrama. Is that right?
Yeah, docufiction, we're kind of calling it. It's and it's great. It's a subgenre that it's really starting to flourish at the moment. You know, more and more people are deciding to work within that genre, and I really love it. It's something that, like, for us, even like 4 years ago, it was a conscious thing for me to build a film around Cass and his story and these stories that he was telling me about his own life. And I wanted to build the film around that, but then also give him the opportunity to perform as well. So that was always in the forefront of the idea of Flathead. And then throughout the filming and the more people we did, we filmed with, that kind of idea, that like line between reality and fiction kind of kept going back and forwards. And there was a few films, like docufiction hybrid films, a couple of them at the time, but nothing like there is now. So like we were throughout filming just trying to to work together and give Andrew and Cass agency and kind of really find that balance between, all right, all we're trying to do is to get them the base route and the most authentic thing on screen, whether that's something that's stylized, heightened, fictionalized, or real. It really doesn't matter. And for me, I watch a film, even documentaries. I've worked in documentaries before, and you really see, particularly through the editorial process, that every documentary is fictionalized in a certain way and stylized. You are crafting a performance from a real person through editing. So that was a big thing, to kind of move that process of like heightening and stylization and fictional thing, but bring that in while you're actually filming. And it's wonderful, and it gives that agency to the people you're filming with, to go like, yeah, you can be yourself in the scene, or we've constructed like a character that's loose, but you can protect yourself within that character as well. And it's all, yeah.
I'm curious then, like, what does that look like on page? How does your initial script look?
Really bare bones. Like, I think it was primarily all those monologues, all those stories Cass tells throughout this, like the film. They were all there. And then it was, in pre-production, I'd been going up to Bundaberg, meeting people and talking with them. So it was primarily talking to people, kind of transcribing from memory what we had spoken about, their kind of personalities, putting that in a script, and then getting up there and then throwing the script away and just setting up situations. So we knew what we were filming, but we kind of threw it away and go, we're going to play, we're going to write while we're doing. And then it was we tried a few times different narrative directions and trying to go, all right, what if we tried this narrative thread? And then we would film it and go, oh, that doesn't feel right. It was interesting, because the more we steered into like more traditional exposition or more traditional scenes, the more that authenticity or that kind of magic of the film it killed it. It just dissipated all of it. It just let the air out of the tires. So that's the beautiful thing about like working in this thing. It's like I can watch it and I know exactly what's real and what's not real. And even in scenes, like Cass goes in and out. And so do the people with the Bundy guys and everyone. They go in and out of being themselves and playing up to the camera to like very subdued. And you go, oh, that's wonderful. We're all performers, you know. I perform So then I perform at the pub every Friday night in front of people, just talking to them. I think we all perform, and it's a part of our lives.
Well, like it's, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things which I found so fascinating about what I do, right, is that I know that there is an inherent artificiality in an interview, me sitting here talking to you. You're in some capacity performing, I'm performing for you because we're here to probe and ask each other questions. But then that's also a cinematic thing, right? There's, and the presence of a camera is there and people perform there. And then you've got those mates, the Bundy mates, right, with the guns and stuff. And there's this performance of masculinity for them. And I find this so fascinating, the different levels of performance, because nowadays everything, as you're saying, everything is performance, right? Where it is this mask that we're putting on for one another because, you know, we have to adjust to the situation that we're in. And I don't think it's, like, it's always been around, of course, but I don't think it's been as pronounced or as explored in the way that it has been nowadays, that everybody's got a camera, everybody's on display. And that was what I found really fascinating about Flathead, and to extent General Hercules as well, is the way that people just accept the presence of a camera in their lives. It's just there all the time, and so therefore there is no longer the need to be somebody else in front of a camera, which is, I find it just so fascinating to see this explored in an Australian context. Yeah, especially with what you're saying before about going away and looking back, because that in itself is a performance. You're overseas performing as an Australian, even though it's not a performance. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's exactly. It's a very astute point. It's like, yeah, like me going over, and you are performing as an Australian, and then you come back after being away for so long, and then you go back into the community that you grew up in, and then, you know, my accent's weakened a little bit. So you're just always on edge. You're always trying to perform, or especially in social situations, there's such a level of performance. It's kind of, and I don't know, like for me personally, I don't really know my true self. What is that? I don't know what that looks like, because every person I meet have a, you know, they take away a bit of your soul, but it's not the full extent of you as a human being. So it's hard to, like, you can never really look at yourself in the mirror and totally digest what you are as a human. So that's a beautiful thing, I think, about film, is that you can kind of get close, but you're only taking a part, like everyone else takes a part of people with them. It's about how you respond to it and digest as a person in community, going one-on-one with people, or if you're sat in the audience and watching something.
I wonder then, like, having a character like Cass, and then also Andrew as well, who loses his father, like, that sense of mortality brings forth a reality of who we are. Like, it's only in kind of the final years of our lives, whether we're conscious of it or not, that we do kind of really get to understand, actually, I've been this person my entire life and I didn't want to be that, or I'm comfortable with being that person. Was that sense of mortality a surprise, or was it something that you wanted to really interrogate about who we are as people?
Yeah, something I wanted to explore. Like, personally, I grew up and, like, my father passed away when I was quite young, and grew up with a single mother, and like, it's always ever present in my life. I think when you go through such a traumatic experience, it kind of leaves this big gaping hole in you that you inevitably want to try and fill. And it's, for me, it was interesting, you know, to explore that kind of sense of grief, and that sense of grief, not only from someone who's had many years to try and digest that grief, and someone who's, like, just gone through that grief as well. It's because they're two different trajectories of someone dealing with, like, a really traumatic part of their lives, and how, so it was interesting for me to kind of try and kind of look at the world and see how, you know, people are dealing with it. And a big part of that is kind of that spiritual side that kind of plays a big role in the film, and kind of that seeing certain organizations and certain people try and give you that answer whether it's good for you or not is, and it's probably a bit of both. But yeah, I think, and it's, yeah, it's, and it's interesting, even going through it, you never get any sort of answer. There's no sort of closure or anything. It's, and I think that's, I hope the film suggests, it's like, it's just a continual search, which is something you kind of have to get your head around and kind of be comfortable with. Otherwise you kind of just careen off that cliff of like existentialism and just trying to fill that void, which is never helpful.
But I mean, that's the thing, is that you've got these two captivating figures, and I'm curious then what kind of conversations you had with Andrew about presenting that kind of vulnerability on screen.
Yeah. And it was something like, Kent Wong, his father passed away in between one of our blocks of filming. And Andrew came and stayed with me for a week before the funeral, because it was down in the near the Gold Coast, and I was living in Brisbane. And that was a beautiful moment where we were just sharing stories, and I kind of tried as much to be there for him as a person, and not to give him any sort of advice, because you know even I went through similar things. It's just, I think the core thing is just sitting with someone, you know, and just bodies in the same room and just being quiet and let them process how they want to process. And then through that, it was not even a thought that we were thinking around that time. It was only just kind of after, a few months after, that we kind of were starting to film again. And it's a conversation Andrew and I had throughout the process of what he's comfortable showing, and because we both wanted to celebrate his father Kent, because I think he's the epitome of like a beautiful soul in regional Australia. It's like he's lived such what you would think is such an insignificant life, but has meant so much to kind of the community, but also the cultural fabric. It's these kind of working class people, migrant workers, that really are the heart and soul of the world. So we wanted to show that and kind of display that, and you know, pay tribute to that, and also have, you know, so you know, allow him something, and allow Andrew to work through it. You know, we always work it through stuff in art. It's like it's interesting, and having those conversation of what we can film and what's cool to thing, it was always just like, is this okay? And then you kind of go yes or no. And even for me, it's like there's certain moments we filmed that I didn't put in the film, or so there's certain things that you kind of you've got to have those conversations, and they're hard conversations, but easy, because it's you're both working towards, you know, the same goal of just presenting a life that's well lived.
It's interesting. There's the last shot that we see of his father before we see the footage at the funeral, and he's walking out the door and says, you know, good night, and the key is still in the door. And yeah. I don't know if like there's a moment in Emile's Man on Earth where he cuts and I can't remember his name, which is terrible right now, but he steps back into the room just before he passes away, and they're both kind of these moments of just remembering what the weight of a person is in our lives, and remembering the impact that they have. Like, it might just be a key in a door. It might be them stepping out of a room and you feel the vacuum of them not being there anymore. And this feeling of the impact that somebody's had on somebody's life. And it's so brilliantly presented there in just a moment. So I'm curious if you can then talk about creating that weight in the edit and how you make sure that those kinds of moments carry an impact and resonate strongly.
Yeah, it's hard. You just gotta, you work at it. It's kind of, because it's the editing process, and it's so hard, because it's not only because I've got an emotional attachment to the on that day of what we filmed, and then you literally have this big burst of emotion, and then And then it quickly dissipates, and you're throughout editing, and longer you kind of get away from that moment, the more you're trying to emotionally get back to that moment. So you just work, you know, you just rack your brain so hard to be like, you're trying to recapture, and it never lives up to that experience you had. For me, it never lives up to it. Actually capturing these moments, you kind of clawing your way, and you never quite get there, but you just hope you get there enough.
I think you got there. I don't know what the original feeling is like, but I can sense what I know what it's felt like for myself. So, and maybe that's the you know, the echo of my own feeling of it, but that's the feelings that I get from the film. And it carries so much weight, but there's also joy in there as well, right? There is, and that is so important, because I think the important thing is you see a film, and I fear that modern sensibility nowadays is like, you see a film that's going to be mostly in black and white, and it's like, oh, this is going to be a serious affair, right?
Yeah, that tackles existentialism. But you know, we've got a couple of song and dance numbers in there. But no, that's important as well. It's like to show a whole breadth of someone's personality and life. You know, like there's shades of black and white and grey in between. But it's like, it's important because like you never want to get into that situation of just depicting, you know, and I've seen it in media, like working class people getting depicted in a very patronizing way, almost like you know, it's like poverty porn, quote unquote. So that was a big thing, and I'd seen that throughout my life. So when you're actually making it, you know, you go like, there's so much joy, there's so many tears, but it's all together in one person, and that's kind of important to show. Like, and as a practitioner and as a director, it's your job to try and blend those tones together and make it into a cohesive piece. But it's something that's important. You know, you need that, you know, I think. You need a bit of joy in the world. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I want to touch on the kind of, like, it is poverty porn, but it's also cultural tourism in a way, where you see a lot of people who wealthy and they have the ability to go back to their safe houses, and they engage in working class stories that aren't, they're not, you just know that they don't resonate strongly. But in Australia in particular, like, access to the arts is really difficult for people, not just people with you know, arts degrees or anything like that, but there is this exclusionary thing that happens for working class creatives who, they come from a working class background, but they've been shut off from being able to actually tell their own stories. And I'm curious if you can talk about the path to being able to tell a story from a working class background, but also how important it is for those, that authenticity there. You've already touched on it, but it is so important. How important is it in Australia?
Yeah, it's really important. And, you know, we're living through times where that gap is going to be bigger and bigger, you know, those financial restraints on people and communities. And it's a thing in Australia particularly, we've got kind of like an invisible class system. We've always had that. It's not so defined as it is in the UK or other countries. And there's a great deal of shame attached to it, I think, in this country. But it's so important because it's, you know, film in itself is such an expensive medium. It'll send you broke. And it's, you know, throughout filming, it sent me broke. So it's important. It's hard, you know, one of those things, it's like telling your stories and the urgency to tell them, but then you're met with a brick wall because you don't have the financial means. And that's the hardest thing, I think, about when I see it in film. It's like, it's, and people do say it's more democratized with smartphones and stuff like that, and it is in a way, but also it's you know, we live in a world that, you know, you know, smartphone films, how many do you see them getting selected and put up into the national agenda or having an impact? So it's hard because films are beautiful medium. It's like the most, and it's the most working class medium in its delivery system and its distribution. You know, you can go see, you know, you can go see theater or the opera or these things. The ticket prices are too small, too big, but you can see the whole world for like $8. It's probably more now. It's like $25, but that's pretty far. So it's a strange dichotomy that on one hand it's the pathways to get into actually making it is so hard, but it is the most like populist medium. And for me, like the film was, you know, I self-funded all the production, and that was based on like Dole payments I got, Centrelink payments. During COVID, I got, you know, we got the double Centrelink payments. So a large portion of that went straight into Flathead. You know, I was living on not much and trying to just save as much as I can. And then after blocks of filming, I would come back and probably have like $1.20 in the account. And then you're like, all right, I've got a couple more months to save some money. And then go get a job, night job or tending bar, save some money, go film it. So it's like, it's a thing like you can do it. It's hard and it takes a long time. It's like, you know, this film was pretty much off the back of, we want to make this film. And I just didn't see any way of doing that. And the kind of filmmaking I wanted to do that was very fluid, that's so hard to pitch. It's so hard to get people on board. So the thing was, is just going out and doing it and be like, all right, we're going to start this thing. We're going to get the engines going. And then eventually people see that and then they've jumped aboard and really helped it go. But I think it's just starting, just, you know, take that agency into your own life. And, you know, if you've got a good soul and something to say, I think no matter what, people will get behind you.
I mean, there was a report the other day about, I think, Australian artists on average earning like $10,000 a year, which I think is still probably a conservative estimate, you know. Like, it feels, even $10,000 feels like it's too much, like, for the amount of that people actually earn. Like, it's so minimal and there needs to be a heck of a lot more. But on the flip side, you're working alongside people like Brody, who I mentioned before. You're making films together, and I'm curious then if you can talk about that kind of sibling bond, the filmic sibling bond, and how important it is to have somebody in your corner who is also going through a similar journey.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for him. Like, not only doing interviews and the film turning out, but just the person I am. Like, I've known him since we just turned 18. I've known him for 14 years now, probably. And he's someone I love so deeply. Like, he knows more about me than anyone else in the world. And there's something beautiful about that relationship, that like, we're always there for each other, like personally, but also in a filmmaking way. I can always rely on him, and it's beautiful as well, because we've known each other for so long, like throughout filming. It's like we're not really too verbal towards each other. We kind of just know generally. We don't have to go into discussions a lot about like any sort of meaning or blocking and stuff. We just know, like, all right, this is the two words, like this kind of thing. We can just go straight in, and we know each other so well. And he's like, you know, he's such a beautiful human and such a beautiful filmmaker. And as a director of photography, his eye is so compassionate, and it's something really beautiful.
I mean, as I mentioned, like I chatted to him for General Hercules, and it's just like, talking to him was just a delight, because there's so much that's going on and he said so much in a short period of time, but his perspective and combined with your perspective of Australia has been like, for me, in a very selfish manner, it's like, yeah, this is what I've wanted to see Australian films do for a long time, because, you know, I write about Australian films because I love what Australian films say about Australia. And I haven't seen Australian films, modern Australian films at least, explore who Australia is as a cultural identity for in the ways that you have done with Flathead and what Brody's done with General Hercules. It's like, they're two of the films where I'm like, yeah, we need more of that, because there seems to be this sense of shying away from the truth of who Australia is. Like, it's you know, almost being afraid of the accent, afraid of this kind of dirty people. And so often the characters that you might present in both of the films, like the, you know, the rural outback person, are presented in like the kind of shit, and I'm being blunt here, but the very shit like crime dramas, which are always presented as like the blokes who are, you know, drunk in the pub and going to beat up stuff. And it's like, no, that's not who they are. Like, they might do that sometimes, but it's not who they are when the camera's not on them. Like, we don't need more of these kind of murder in the outback kind of stories. We want more of this kind of stuff, because it's the true identity of who Australia is. And so when I got to see General Hercules for the first time, I'm like, where has this film been for all my life? Like, I haven't seen this in years. And then I watched Flathead, I'm like, where has this been? Like, I watched it earlier in the year for when I launched at Rotterdam, and I was like, yeah, this is great. And then got the invite to be able to chat with yourself. I'm like, yeah, cool, this is it. You know, this is really exciting. So yeah, there's no real question there, but it's just like, this is the kind of that sense of identity is so important, and getting to present the real Australia. I'm curious, and I guess maybe the question is, what is the real Australia to you? Is it what you're presenting here, or is it something that is undefinable?
Yeah, it's undefinable and murky. It's, you know, you really can't put a finger on it, and it's complicated, and it's tied up in generations and all the hurt, suffering and joy. It's complicated. And also, like, it's, you know, and we're still trying to figure it out. It's interesting, and it's like, it keeps moving ahead of us what Australia is and what it's defined by. But I think it's, you know, it's important to depict that. It's, you know, and I think we in metropolitan or more affluent areas of Australia, like, all these things of what Australiana is or Australia identity, all these things are being kind of talked about in an intellectual way or in conversations. And it's a big thing, and that's valid in itself. But like, the big thing, you go out to regions and you go out to these areas, it's not a conversation. They're actually living through what that identity is. And it's complicated, it's murky, it's, you know, it can be brutal at sometimes, but it can be joyous and connecting at others. And it's the duality of that I think is, like, it's important. And, like, I don't think a lot of people tend to shy away from that because it's so complicated. And, like, and for me, it was easy, because it's, like, it's, you know, I really wanted to display that. I don't, you know, I had no answer, but, you know, I want to display people actually living through trying to understand what it is to be Australian.
And I think that's the problem, is that so often Australian filmmakers are forced into providing an answer or encouraged to provide an answer. And it's like, I ask this question of almost all of the Australian filmmakers I talk to, which is about what Australian identity means. And, like, there's no right answer, but unfortunately, because it's a question, there is the sense that there's going to be a right answer. There is a sense that there has to be one solid thing, and it's impossible, right? That's the key answer, is it's impossible to define. Like, my Australia in Perth is very different from the Australia in Esperance, the Australia in Adelaide or Sydney or wherever. Like, it's very, very different. And I think that we often forget that, right? And so that's why watching a film like Flathead is like, this one town in Bundaberg is, like, so different. You have all these different cultural things. You've got a fish and chip shop. You've got people with guns. You've got people you know, religious people and all this kind of stuff, and yet it creates a community. And none of those things are one solid answer to what Australia is, but all of them together create what Australia is. And yeah, I just find it, I find it fascinating, especially you give out great answers as to what it is. And it's like, you know, I think that people, yeah, I get into an existential crisis whenever I ask the question as well, because it's like, shit, what am I doing to myself? You know, why am I asking it when I know that there's no real answer? And it's cruel because I put people like yourself on the spot. But the answers have been fascinating, right? Because it's not one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting how people answer that question. Like, that says a lot about like that person and their point of view, and particularly them as a creative. I think, you know, I never like, you know, I never want to go to a specific situation thinking I know everything about this area, this person, this thing. So it's like, you know, I'm open. I'm like a funnel. I'm, you know, I want to sit there and discover these things myself. I'm curious. And I'm just like, I think that's an important thing, I think, for filmmakers. And you just, you know, more and more, I hope, like, the beautiful thing about docufiction is that you can be curious while making the film. Like, you think you can be reactionary and you can really write while you're doing it and experiencing this thing, to make it authentic. That was a big thing for me. I wanted it to feel, it didn't matter if it was real or fiction, it had to be, I wanted it to feel authentic. And that's the beautiful way of like working in this like subgenre, so you can get close to that. And and the film is like, it's a depiction of a question of what Australia is, but it's also, you know, someone can make kind of in the same methodology a film down the road and get a completely different question of Australiana.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I kind of want to watch this in the double with The Plains, right? You know, like, this is, they're both kind of films that about what Australia is and asking so many questions, and they're both working that docufiction format, which is fascinating. I've taken up so much of your time. I've just got a couple more questions and I'll let you be free for the day. But I'm curious, as we're talking about this Australian aspect, of course, it's screened at Rotterdam, and I'm curious what that kind of, how that relationship with Australiana and presenting it away from home, what was that like?
Yeah, it's quite strange. And because those audience, the perception of Australia is fed through media they've consumed or movies that they have consumed. And that's a very limited kind of cross section. So it's interesting, like, presenting this and then and people reacting to it in a way of like, well, they didn't realize certain aspects of our culture or kind of felt it quite like it's confronting. They're like, whoa, these aren't the kind of taut trim bodies on Bondi Beach, or they're not exactly the kind of red dirt kind of cork hat, cork string hats, ochre Australians. It's somewhere in between. So that was amazing. And so it's amazing to, like, you know, that's, and you get nervous sometimes presenting it to part of the world, because a lot of it's very specific. It's like culturally specific to Australia and particularly Queensland. So you're kind of like, oh, will that travel to Rotterdam, to the Netherlands? And the big thing is like, and the beautiful thing about film is like, it does. A film can be so specific and the world can be so like particular and closed off and small. But as long as there's like a deep kind of emotional core, like it becomes universal. It doesn't matter how tightly specific it is. It's like people kind of take that and take connection. And it is. Because we're sat in a room and we're sat down with someone, like, we're internally having a conversation with the screen and this world that we've never seen before. And that's like, that's the real magic of cinema.
And then it's heading to Sydney, which is exciting. And you're going to have that completely different relationship as well, because maybe a Sydney audience is going to see Queensland differently than a Rotterdam audience might.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm looking forward to opening up that dialogue and having different dialogues about the film. Because everyone brings their own different context. So I'm excited to show it in Australia for an Australian audience. And it's just been great, even talking to you about these things. And it's wonderful to just open this dialogue up. It, kind of the film's away from me now. It's like, it's not, it's my opening line to a conversation that hopefully keeps going for people. If I've done my job right.
Yeah, well, I think you have. I'm curious in how you prepare yourself for that conversation. Obviously, the film is there, but when you engage in stuff like meeting people after a screening or, sitting down to have a conversation like this, how do you prepare yourself for that?
I just try to be the most sincere person I can be, just be me. And it's a big thing. It's like, you present work and you present work in this way that might be in some regards complicated, and it is so you have to come to that conversation, be aware that conversations are going to happen, some tough ones are going to happen, and it is my responsibility as a director to be okay with people's responses to a film. And it's hard, but it's I made this piece, I stand by it. And whatever reaction someone has to it is, they can have. But and I would love to just meet him there and talk about it. And so it's going to be, it's interesting. And from a sincere way, I think everyone, the film is everyone has a right and a platform to kind of, express themselves. So I just hope. I'll be there. So any screenings at the I'll be at the bar. So you can either buy me a drink or throw one in my face.
Well, hopefully more the former rather than the latter. Yeah. Well, Jaden, it's been a real treat to be able to talk with you. I'm sure I could talk for hours and hours about the film and your work and your vision for Australian films and stuff. I'm excited. I hope it doesn't take you 4 more years to make another film, but I'll be waiting if it does. Because I'm excited to see where you go.
A new one cooking, so.
Good.
Yeah.
And
thank you for sitting down. It's been a wonderful talk.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I must say, sometimes when I watch films like this, where I'm like, this is saying so much, I'm not sure how I'm going to digest it into formulated questions and stuff, but I prefer just having a conversation rather than going, so tell me about this and tell me about that, because I find that can be a little bit stilting and boring. But there is so much to kind of all the different avenues that you've created here in the film are just so powerful. And, there's talks about bodies, the way you present bodies in the film as well is a whole different discussion, which I'm sure I'll talk with you again in the future about, because that in itself is so, it's fascinating, really, really fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was kind of describing it a bit it was kind of works as a Rorschach film. There's a lot in there, and people come out of it thinking and kind of digesting different things. It's it's quite amazing, I think. We've been able to stumble into that through dumb luck or a little bit of talent. So
I think it's the other way around, but that's okay. That is director Jaden Martin talking about his absolutely essential film Flathead, which is going to be screening at the Sydney Film Festival on the 12th and the 15th of June. Head over to sff.org.au to purchase tickets. Thank you again for listening. Please make sure to head over to thecurb.com.au to listen to other interviews and read interviews and reviews and the likes and all that kind of stuff, and patreon.com/thecurbau to support us from as little as $1 a month. Thank you again. We'll see you on the next one.